This program was produced by and first broadcast on Radio Hawke's Bay, your community access media station. Thanks to New Zealand On Air for making this type of programming possible.
Magandang hapon po. Good afternoon, everyone. Kia ora. Ngayon, nandito pa rin ako, si Leia Batarbonia ng Philippine Radio. Muli tayong makikinig sa ating programa ngayon. I don't have that specific topics to share to you this afternoon. Mayroon tayong mga bagay na maaring matutunan natin, hindi lamang sa ating kapwa Pilipino, but at the same time to other nationalities in New Zealand. So sa muli, this is Leia Batarbonia in Philippine Radio. I want to share something salient features, updated situation about our country, the Philippines. So, as we know, Philippines is composed of 7,107 islands located in the Southeast Asia. There are four countries surrounding the Philippines. We have China, Indonesia, Taiwan, and Malaysia on the other end. Through the years that Philippines exist as an independent country, since the year when U.S. government different military activities in the Philippines to redeem the Philippines against the Japanese and the Spanish. What I mean is during World War II. It's not I have to reword that one. It's not the redemption, but the Philippines become independent from the United States of America in 1898. I can't remember the exact date now, but that's the story. Ang Philippines ay sinakop ng Spain for over 700 years ago. And then from Spain, nagkaroon ng World War II na kung saan ang mga Japanese ay sinakop nila yung Philippines. And then the American came to rescue the Philippines from Japanese. Hindi maiwasan na sa pagdaan ng panahon at dahil sa tinatawag na globalization, naging competitive yung Philippines to thrive our economy, the political system being unstable, and yet we strive to become stable in terms of our social, cultural, economic, and political situation. Ngunit, nandyan pa rin yung mga masasabi natin na there are three major social issues that the Philippines is facing. Number one is the corruption. Corruption from the top level of the government, from judicial to the executive like we have the judicial in terms of the justice system, there are corruption that's happening. Then on the executive level, from our like people in the Congress or in the Senate, so that's the one of the major social issues that the Philippines is facing, and we always try to overcome that. And with the emergence of different organizations geared toward eradicating or minimizing corruption, the Philippines is thriving. And we have also the poverty. Poverty is one of the social issues. Based on recent data, it shows that it's 21.6% of Filipinos belong to their income is below the poverty line. So when we talk about it, it's maybe we say below, like the daily wage is below 500 pesos a day. At recent years, 500 is it's still like in poverty line. So meaning to say that there's a high level of poverty within the country, not only in rural areas or in the provinces, but also in the cities. If you would observe like proliferation, there are proliferation of urban poor, which like the street children, street vigars that we could see in major cities. And also this is evident from the houses that we could, or shanties that we could see in under the bridge or in the thickly populated areas in the city. And it's still rising. Yes. So meaning to say, the economic situation is not that even in the average, it's not stable, but with the government is trying to put the policies or create the policies and programs that would help minimize poverty. Then we have also the third issue is the human rights issues, which if you would read on newspapers or in the news, you heard about abduction, killings of journalists, those who are trying to exercise their freedom, for the freedom of speech, if they are obvious. Who are against any government officials or high-ranking military officials, they are being abducted or they are being killed, and then there's no process. The justice system is not properly imposed, not properly executed in favor for the victims. So that is one of the social issues that the Philippines is facing. So we have corruption, poverty, then human rights. And I would say that there are still people in the country who really trying to bridge between the problems and try to mitigate measures on how to help minimize the social issues that we are facing. And we could see lots of organizations that are trying to help and create programs that would help and geared towards eradication of these social issues of the country. If we have to have a look at present, when we say the state of the Philippines in terms of their economic situation, there are major sectors that after the pandemic, we observe that the Philippines trying to do the best that we can, but this is based on the several researches and write-ups that our journalists and writers trying to compile, like in terms of we have one major sector that after the pandemic we could see that it helps and it trying to reinforce the future of the Philippines in terms of the economy. So we have number one in terms of the travel and hospitality sector. The outlook for the travel and hospitality sector is strong in terms with the full recovery to pre-pandemic levels, and it was expected that in the year 2024, the travel and the hospitality sector would improve. So in terms of that sector, there's an outbound and inbound travel within the country. However, after the pandemic, there's a sluggish movement of that the outbound and inbound travel. This is due to the remaining international restrictions and health and safety concerns that the neighboring country or the transit countries are still imposing to the traveler. So after the pandemic in 2022, then in 2023, it became a little bit lenient. Considering that the Philippines, the countries that become a transit going to the Philippines, like Hong Kong. Hong Kong is one of the biggest transit country because of the their biggest airport where most of the airlines going to Asia, Europe, use Hong Kong as their transit country. So, however, in the Philippines, in terms of travel of tourists and foreign tourists or local tourists, the hotel occupancy is still rising as more foreign tourists visit the country or the Philippines. They still have that inclination to travel. It doesn't restrict them. Once the travel restrictions, health declarations were being lifted or become minimal, more foreign tourists want to visit the Philippines, as well as some Filipinos would like to travel within the Asian countries, like going to Hong Kong, China, Thailand, Malaysia, especially those who are doing small, maybe not really small, but those who are doing business in terms of retail, they buy products from Thailand or China and then retail, doing some retail business in the Philippines. So it doesn't restrict them from doing that once the pandemic was over. And when the transit countries were cleared. So, however, the impact, and also in saying this, the high inflation, for example, high inflation has increased the operating cost of airlines, of different airlines, because of that, the high inflation, when the commodities become high, the prices, and then the exchange rate from Philippine peso to, for example, Hong Kong dollars or US dollar. Of course, US dollar is the major foreign currency. When the exchange rate goes up, so the value of peso goes down. So there's a devaluation of peso. So meaning it becomes more expenses or operating expenses for different airlines. And the tendency would, the workers would demand high wages or salaries because everything become costly and the price of petrol increased. So that's some of the issues that become a contributory factor in terms of the travel and hospitality sector in the country. So the tendency would, the government would try to encourage people, especially the local in the Philippines, to travel locally instead of going out. It's because it would benefit on the small scale businesses in the country, like those who own resort. If more Filipinos travel within the country, like for example me or my family would go for 3-day outing in Boracay Island or in Cebu. So on that point, I already help, or we already help the economy of our country because we do it locally instead of going out somewhere in Hong Kong or in Macau or in Thailand. So that's the example of how we individual or how certain Filipino would be able to help our country, especially during the first year when the pandemic was over. And then the other sector within the economy, which affect the economy of the Philippines, is the real estate and construction sector. So there are several global and macroeconomic shocks that likely impact the Philippines during the post-pandemic when the Philippines is recovering, there's economic recovery in the sector. So what does it mean that there are more demand for construction, however, it's lower in the residential construction. It's lower. There's expansion in real estate investment, and there's opportunities and also emergence of green real estate and a promising step toward the Philippines' goal to reduce the carbon emission by 75%, which is become the target of the country in 2030. So that is not bad as planned by our economists in the country. So that's their projection, and it's happening as well. So if you would see there's, as what I have said, the non-residential construction to recover is minimized. And however, I have to correct this. What I said, what I want to say is there's more demand for residential construction to recover during the pandemic. However, in the commercial construction, it's not that much. However, you would see there might be increased demand for office spaces because the companies or big businesses would try to design their policies, design their implementation to recover because of the pandemic. So that's how it's being done by the Philippine government to recover or to arrest economic downfall, especially during the pandemic. So there's a planning how to address those issues in so that the business keep going and the people won't suffer from their employment, they won't lose job. But at the same time, there's still increased in a migration. So when I say migration, those who want to work overseas, they are still doing it, and there's still demand in other countries because of one country is also trying to cope how to address the issues in order that their country would be able to reduce their foreign loan and to recover the economy. And then we have also the financial services. So the sector that belongs to financial services, like the banks, how the banks operate during the time that after the pandemic, so how the bank operate. So maybe the bank would design new advocacy to increase their loan application. People will go to the bank and to apply for a loan. It's either on business loan or housing loan, because they want to rebuild from those losses. But then the bank, because this is a business of the bank, the strength of the Philippine financial services sector is during the year 2023 was likely subject to another factors like the interest rate. So the banks will, the Philippine banks will design new policies in terms of interest rate to attract more customers. They would advertise that they lower the interest rate when you file a loan, or for those who has ongoing loan, they have to design those program. And then, but then there's, because of that high inflation, so the bank would also don't want to lose their business. So it's either way, a win-win situation, the bank and then the customers. So if they want to please their customers, they have to advertise new strategies, policies and strategies to improve the system in terms of borrowing, savings. Maybe after the pandemic, more customers are trying to reduce their savings because they need money for the losses. In terms of migration, other people working abroad decided to go home for good in the Philippines because they think pandemic would not end. So they decide I have a relative, a cousin, who decided she worked as a nurse, registered nurse in Saudi Arabia, and then she decided to go home. Actually, during the time when she decided, the pandemic was still going on, and then she decided to go home for good because she said she can't cope mentally stressed, working every day and facing lots of patients having COVID. So she can't cope, even there's already vaccines available during the time, and some people were all already vaccinated, but then she decided to go home, even if she's on a supervisory role as a registered nurse in the hospital. So that's some of the examples how it impacts the economy of one family, the economy of one Filipino worker overseas would impact to the economy of the country. Because when they go home, the flow of cash, flow of money, it's being reduced. If you have how many children in the family, if you have six, and then all of those six children are expecting you as a mother to provide, that you are the breadwinner within the family. So, yes, that's really impact to the financial situation of the country as well. Then another sector is the healthcare. The healthcare sector experienced strongly growth during COVID in 2021. Healthcare services increased by 14.1%, and as well as the needs. The needs of medicines, pharmaceutical, and then the manufacturing, it increased by almost nearly 13%. The establishment of healthcare facilities is being done by the government, especially in the provinces, because Philippines want to bring healthcare services accessible to the people, especially those in the rural areas, especially to poor people who lives in the mountain, lives in the rural areas, that they cannot avail the services going to town or going to the city because of the inaccessibility of the transport system. That's one of the reasons. And maybe as we know that when you go to the doctor, you still have to, you have to pay. The health services in the Philippines is not free unless you are a senior citizen. Meaning senior citizen, those who belongs to the age of 60 and up. So that's how it is, the system in the Philippines. And you can only have the health benefit if you have a Philippine health insurance. Like if you are working in the government or if you are paying by voluntarily paying your PhilHealth, so you can avail that services. But if not, it all costly. So the Department of Health is trying to implement programs and policies that would bring the health care services to the rural areas rather than the people going to the health centers in town. So they create satellite health centers. For example, in a week, Monday, Wednesday, Thursday, or MWF, we call that MWF, Monday, Wednesday, Friday, the rural health nurse would go in a certain barangay or village to facilitate the needs of the people. And then we have also, we call the village health workers that assist the nurse. Or sometimes those health issues that the nurse can handle, that there's no need for a doctor. If there's a need to see the doctor, that's a time that the nurse would recommend to the patient to go to the main health center in town. So it's being, the Philippines is trying to cope with those, how to address those issues after the pandemic. And then we have also, like what I said, so how many travel and hospitality, we have financial services, real estate and construction, and then we have the healthcare services. So in terms of, and then education. So I would like to add on education, because during the pandemic, the 100% of the class from primary to high school and even to college were affected. And it redounded to the quality of education that our children are getting. So mostly it's online. How about if they cannot afford to buy a computer? They don't have that accessibility to acquire online class. So it redounded as well to the quality of education that the students would get. And also it affects if the education also of the parents is not high, then it affects how the kids are being taught by the parents, because the parents become the teacher during the pandemic. So that recovery, the issue of recovery from pandemic to post-pandemic is very high. It's costly for the government to spend more resource materials, educational materials, or building new classroom for the students to make it more the quality of education, which is really good. So that's all that I can talk about the Philippines and in terms of the economic situation. Day by day, we are coping, we're struggling, and we are implementing different programs and policies. But then the hindrances and the challenges are always there. Like what I said, the corruption, the poverty, and the human rights violation. And as part of our news bits, the Chinese government is trying to they're trying to get one of the islands, of the Philippines that historically it belongs to the Philippines, in the South China Sea. So there's an agreement. The Vietnam and the Philippines signed an agreement about the security in disputed South China Sea, like the Spratly Islands, which Chinese government would like to get from the Philippines. So the agreement signed to boost cooperation between the coast guards or the marine officials, maritime security and trade. So the South China Sea is at the center of the territorial area between China and the Philippines and other countries. But if we have to look back into the international law in terms of the maritime issues, if Spratly Islands is very near to the Philippines, and I am sure it belongs to the Philippines, but then the Chinese government would like to get it, so that's why they are on a dispute now at present. So China claims almost the entire sea as its sovereign territory, while the Philippines, Vietnam, and other Southeast Asian nations claim various islets, reef, and shoals. So it's quite sad that we are having that problem instead of harmonizing what we have, because both the China and the Philippines have rich natural resources. We have rich marine resources, and why not we unite and take care of that resources for our common good and for our people? So there's no point of arguing. There's no point of disputing the ownership of the area, but we have to share. We have to share to each other and practice the lawful way of fishing, where we don't destroy the natural habitat of our resources. So I hope that in the coming months, coming years, we would be able to harmonize, and we would be able to sign an agreement of how to harmonize and cooperate among the Southeast Asian nations. And we just have to cope what we have in our natural resources, and we have to practice sustainable way of taking care of our resources for the good of our constituents, and for the good of our, the future of our children and the children of our children. So that's how I look at the situation with the conflict with each country. So there's no need to fight over the ownership, but we have to have a common understanding and be grateful for that a wonderful gift from God that we have on earth, that we can enjoy and we can use as a livelihood. But we don't need to be greedy from each other. We don't need to be greedy from each other, from its culture or from other culture. But we have to harmonize and just live what we can. Thank you so much for listening. And I hope I was able to enlighten our listeners, and you would be able to learn from about the Philippines. Maybe in the future we can talk more about other things like the languages. I have to go back to the languages and tell you more about the joy of being translator or a teacher for the Filipino language. So maraming salamat po. Hanggang sa muli, ito po ay si Leia Batarbonia ng Philippine Radio. Thank you very much.
This program was produced by and first broadcast on Radio Hawke's Bay, a community access media station. Thank you to New Zealand On Air for making this type of programming possible.